Jesus said to those who had believed in him, if you continue my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You will know the truth. The question is, as Pontius Pilate asked during the trial of Jesus, later in this same gospel in John, the question is, what is the truth? What is the truth that sets us free? Well, I'm sure there are a million answers to that question. I'm sure that if we each gave our own answer, there would be a lot of variation. If we went further afield, canvassing other congregations and other denominations and non-denominations, we would find a tremendous difference. And yet there would be a common thread among many. It would probably run something like this. Because of our sin, our brokenness, God cannot accept us, cannot be with us, and we are therefore doomed to hell. And the fix for this is Jesus dying in our place on the cross to pay the price of our sins, to allow God to be reunited with us. And all we have to do is accept that truth to activate our salvation. I'm sure if we talk to Christians across the community, there would be a variation of details, but that would be the most common answer we would find to the question, the truth, what is the truth that sets us free? In fact, I imagine that many of us were raised with some variation of this ourselves. It's an understanding that began to take center stage after the Reformation, the historical movement we remember today, as Deacon Katie shared. Indeed, the thinking and writing of Martin Luther himself forms the foundation, at least, for this way of seeing things. I imagine if you were to attend a dozen different Lutheran services today, you would hear many sermons that would frame it like this. The truth that sets you free is you're saved by grace. You're not saved by anything you do, but as a gift from God. And that gift is Jesus dying for your sins on the cross. And that, I believe, is all true. Sort of. I say sort of because it depends how you bend it. It depends whether you bend it or not in that direction that I said first, that you might find in many churches around us among Christians in this country if you canvass our community. Let me see. This is a nuanced sermon today. You have to pay close attention. We are saved by grace. Yes. Yes, we are saved as a gift. Yes, we are saved through Jesus dying on a cross. Yes. But the next part, that Jesus' death paid a price for our sin because God demands a price and we cannot pay it ourselves. That Jesus takes our punishment, takes our whipping, is put to death in our place so that we don't have to suffer the torment of hell. If you bend the truth in that direction, so that grace becomes a transaction, grace is a purchase that God makes, grace is a payment, grace is a sacrifice that God makes to God's self. Jesus makes a sacrifice to his Father. Well, that part I can't agree with, not so much. For me, that part is not the truth. That's not the good news. I don't think this is what Jesus is referring to in the Gospel of John as the truth that sets us free. Now, if at this point you're going, what? Are you throwing out what I have always believed? The answer is no, wait, don't panic. I'm just pushing towards a shift, a small but important nuance, a significant detail of understanding. So here it is. In the one story, the one I think is not what Jesus means when he says the truth will set you free. In that story, God loves us, but God also hates us, can't stand us, at least dislikes us, can't accept us, can't tolerate us because of sin, because of our turning in on self, because of our brokenness. God cannot truly love us or truly forgive us, cannot have mercy on us without Jesus paying a price, taking our punishment, suffering death instead of us. There's a lot of different ways to say it. But the bottom line is this way of seeing things that I'm disagreeing with, that Jesus, is that what Jesus does changes the way God the Father, the Creator, feels about us. That what Jesus does changes how God the Father, the Creator, deals with us. That what Jesus does changes how God the Father, the Creator, treats us. Maybe this is the simplest way to say it. In the version of the story that I do not believe, God is both a God of love and a God of wrath. And in order for us to avoid the wrath of the Father, to be fully loved, Jesus has to stand between us as a shield, between us and the wrathful Father. As if what Jesus is saving us from, literally, is God the Father. And that, to me, that's not really exactly good news. I'll call that quite a bit less than good news. And moreover, much more importantly than how I feel about it, more importantly, I don't think that's what the Scripture says. It's not what the Scripture says in the Gospels, in the stories of Jesus in general, and it's certainly not what the Gospel of John says in particular. Jesus saves us from the Father because the Father is compelled to do us in by His nature, and we have to accept that Jesus stands between us and this God who wants to torture us for all eternity. That is not the truth that Jesus is talking about. The truth that sets us free, that changes everything, is this. God is love, not love and hate, not love and wrath, not love and violence and destruction and desolation, just love. The Gospel of John makes it clear that Jesus, the Logos of God, the divine wisdom of God, the Word of God, was present with God at the beginning. Remember the beginning of the Gospel? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God, light and life from the beginning when the creation was spoken into existence, when humankind was formed in God's very own image. God created us in love. Jesus says over and over, He and the Father are one. He is in the Father is in Him. No one can know the Father except through knowing Him. Love one another as I have loved you, as the Father has loved me. I have sent you in love to proclaim mercy and grace and a forgiveness and abundant life, just as the Father has sent me to proclaim mercy and grace and forgiveness, to proclaim abundant life. I have come not to condemn the world, but to save it. Throughout the entire Gospel of John, over and over and over, Jesus proclaims not that He is on our side, protecting us from a wrathful God that we are doomed to be punished by. No, it's not there. Jesus proclaims that He is the image, the revelation of the Father. He and the Father are one. And we are loved. Not only by Jesus, we are loved by God. Despite our sin, despite our brokenness, despite our failures, we are God's Beloved, grace is not that Jesus stops the Father from hating us or punishing us or condemning us. Grace is, that's not who God is. Grace is, Jesus shows us we were wrong about God. Jesus reveals that we've been confusing God with ourselves, recreating God in our image. All that vengeance, that wrath, that hatred and violence and destruction, that is us. That is what God is freeing us from. Jesus proclaims, Jesus teaches, Jesus lives a God of love. If you continue in my word, the word of life, abundant life, the word of grace and mercy and forgiveness, Jesus says, if you continue in my word of loving one another as I have loved you, the word of abiding in God, dwelling in God, being gathered into the bosom of God's love, then you will be set free. Free from wrath, free from division, free from violence, free from destruction, free from death. This is the good news of the Reformation. Not that God loves us enough to kill God's own self instead of killing us. That's only sort of sad news. The good news of the Reformation and today and forever is that God's love, God's grace is even bigger than we dared to imagine. God loves us and calls us to repent, to change, to grow into that love, to live life in that freedom, proclaiming and sharing and living that love for the sake of each other, for the sake of the whole world. That's good news indeed. Amen.